Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All of the texts, but the two primary texts for our message this morning is our epistle reading and also our gospel reading. In our gospel reading, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says to his disciples, If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. This is our text. This morning we continue this year's People with a Purpose journey by looking at another foundational yet often overlooked, maybe even unpopular at times, principle that teaches us, that God teaches us in the Bible. It's a principle that Jesus both models for us and then points out directly that we, quote, should do as his Christian stewards. As with each principle that we consider, there is one thing that is in common. Before we have any chance of living according to God's expectation for us, before we can ever be faithful in our stewardship before God, we must believe in and acknowledge God's transformative work in our lives that gives us, first, the desire in our converted hearts, minds, and souls to actually want to live according to God's will. And so today's principle is this: God's stewards are served and serving. So before we can serve others in God's love and name, we need to believe in, see, and embrace the fact that he has first served us in mighty and miraculous ways. Now, as we talked about earlier in the children's sermon, to most people in this world, our core nature says that we would much rather be served than be the one who is serving. Our core nature. I'm not talking about your new Christian nature. Our core nature. It's just part of our basic sin-filled and self-centered nature. We think of servants as those who are lower in both status and worth in society, and masters as having more status and importance. Even more, if we are honest, it just feels nicer to receive attention and admiration. Even if we're a little embarrassed by it, it still feels nice. While we think of it as demoralizing and sometimes humiliating to be the one that is having to give attention and praise to someone else. And this fundamental mindset is taught to us early on, in our families, among our friends, in school, at work, and pretty much everywhere else. Yet Holy Scripture turns all of that on its head, teaching us that the opposite is actually true. For example, 1 John 4, verse 19, wants us to see that understanding the concept of love correctly is the key to all of this. It says, we love because God first loved us. Now, this Friday is Valentine's Day, a day supposedly centered on love. Though half of the people are thinking, I'll find out how much he or she loves me depending on what I get. While the other half is thinking, The only way that I can show how much I love him or her is by giving something that's way over the top. Otherwise, he or she won't really think I love them. Well, this ends up teaching us that love is all about things and emotions. But you see, God's love isn't an emotion or feeling. But rather, it is a good or positive action done to truly benefit another. We know this is true based on scripture verses like John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. In fact, 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10 shows that God's understanding of true love is that of putting the other person's true needs before our own. It says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins." That explains what is behind this stewardship principle that we're looking at today. That although God is almighty, his very nature is shown to us as a humble servant, as the perfect sacrificial servant. You and I see this most profoundly in the way that Jesus led his entire life in service to others, to you and to me. That's why he was even born. He healed countless sick. He drove out demons from people. He raised the dead. He preached repentance and salvation. And he willingly suffered and died on a cross. And all of that from the second person of the Trinity. He's God. He didn't need to be coerced, bribed, or prodded into setting aside his place in heaven, his power, and all of his rights and privileges as God. And yet, he willingly became the suffering servant. When he took on human flesh, he knew that he would suffer humiliation, torture, and death to atone for the sins of an entire undeserving world, including us. Look, I know that it pokes at our ego, but God doesn't need us. He didn't even need to create us. He didn't need to save us. This is going to be the worst. Our existence doesn't add any value to the triune God. He's perfect before us and without us. Nevertheless, though, in his love, God chose to bless us with his life, his love, his service toward us. You see, he created us, he loves us, he serves us so that we can benefit from and experience who he is and all that he has for us. He created us so that we can be served in love. And then, so that we can have the same joy of serving others in his love. That's the encouragement that we heard from St. Paul in our epistle reading. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Being servant, having the heart or the attitude of a humble, loving servant. This is what it means, according to Paul, to, quote, "have the mind among us which is ours in Christ Jesus," unquote. This is the expression of Christian faith. So yes, humble, loving service is one of the clear marks of Christian stewardship. The idea is that following Jesus' lead, looking not only to my own interests, but finding true joy, I mean really true joy, in looking to the needs and the interests of someone else before myself. And then acting on that love and concern to benefit those people over myself. Now we're getting really personal. To benefit that person over myself, this is what it means to be a steward of God. There are several places in the New Testament where Jesus himself makes it clear how he feels about his believers having a servant heart. He even said that greatness in the kingdom of God is measured in terms of service. For example, in Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28, while Jesus was walking with his disciples, he responded to the very selfish request that James's and John's mother made, asking that her sons would be able to sit at Jesus' right and left hand in his kingdom. And he said, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And it was later, on the night of Jesus' arrest, that we have the example of Jesus washing his disciples' feet in our gospel reading, and then saying, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you." That would mean that most of us, I think, by the end of today, should somehow get our feet washed by someone else. Or something like that. But let's be clear. The Christian life, our life as God's stewards, is not something we do because that's the only way that we can gain points or favor with God. There is nothing we can do to deserve God's favor. But we live for God in serving others because that's the new nature that God has created within us through Jesus' blood on the cross. Our love and our motives have been transformed so that now it is our privilege, it is our honor to be servants. We serve because now we truly love God and we love others as he has taught us to love and serve them. Think of it this way. Before our conversion, we, in our sinful nature, viewed the world as nothing more than a big department store made for our own pleasure. The time, the talents, the treasure that God gave to us, we viewed them all as things that we both earned and deserved, just to get us whatever we want. But now that Jesus has drowned that self-centered nature in our baptism and raised us to be with himself as a redeemed child of God, we view our lives differently. As Paul did when he told the Christians in Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 35, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So just in case you haven't noticed yet, this world's ways are not God's ways. For the most part, this world's primary way of life is to get us all to think, "What's in it for me?" And that permeates every nook and cranny of our culture. It dictates the academic world in our public and state-run schools. It motivates the business models of most companies and corporations. and it influences the majority of our political world, on the right, the left, and in between. And that is why it seems so normal to so many people to ignore the best interests and needs of others. Because that's just the way of our sinful nature as well. And yet, living in the love and the grace of Jesus, understanding that Jesus has set you free from the condemnation that your sinful nature deserves, and all because of his undeserved and immeasurable love for you, this sets you free now to love and to serve, not by coercion, not by force, but because doing so is now what you want to do. Because that is now the new nature that you have received when you were baptized into the triune name of God. See, God hasn't only gifted us with his Spirit that creates and sustains in us our saving faith, but he has given each and every one of us a unique variety of resources, intelligence and abilities, along with a countless number of ways to use those gifts in serving others, in serving his church, in serving this world all around us. But don't forget what God taught us last week. While we are no longer citizens of this world, but of heaven since our baptism, we still live every single day in this world. And so it's crucial that we stay intimately connected to the one who has purchased and won us by with his holy precious blood. Because our old nature and the world's ways are still eager, still working to entice and deceive us into turning back away from Jesus. And so it is very important, crucial, to live in God's Word, to stay connected to our fellow believers in His church, to be fed and strengthened weekly by Christ's body and blood and Holy Communion, so that we constantly develop and practice the habit of being good stewards of our time, our talents, and all of our God-given treasures and resources. Paul says in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." He started out there. Whatever you do. That means everything that we have and everything that we do is now to be done in ways that bring honor to God and bless our neighbors in all of life. Look, Jesus gave his entire life to rescue us from hell. So why wouldn't we joyfully give our entire lives now to live for him in gratitude? 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 gives us good direction. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." God loves you, each one of you individually, and all of you as his people with a purpose. His love is obvious in the way that Jesus laid down his life in humble service to you, so that you can now enjoy, experience, and benefit from his love today and forever. This is his service to you. But he wants his love to spread. So it is also his purpose, it is also his plan, that you would be blessed when you love him in return by serving others. You see, he wants you to have the same joy that he has had in serving you. As Matthew 25, verse 34 says, the day will come when you hear Jesus say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's your gift of grace. To him be the glory in all that we think, say, and do in his name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.